You're listening to Irish Sports Talk.
Hello, Notre Dame fans. Welcome to Irish Sports Talk. This is episode 488. Randall's joining me as well today as we discuss Notre Dame's big victory over Wake Forest. A lot of stuff to talk about. Obviously, the quarterback situation and change. But before we jump into that, Randall, anything besides football that you wanted to get off your chest?
Not really. I'm in the process of moving into my new house, so it's a busy fall.
Okay, well, my weekend was a little bit different. I went on a motorcycle trip with some friends from church, and so I wasn't able to watch the game with my normal group of people, and also didn't have internet service or cell phone service, or it was very, very limited. I texted Randall a little bit, but it was very limited. But I was able to watch the game in HD.
Wow.
So that was at least a solid compromise to the weekend without, you know, technology.
Well, at least you were able to watch the game, because that definitely wouldn't have been worth the motorcycle trip if you couldn't watch the game.
So. I agree. I wouldn't have gone without,
okay,
if that would have been one of the factors. All right, so obviously, we're going to talk about the quarterback situation and our thoughts on that. That'll probably take up the majority of the topic for today. However, I do want to talk about what do we get right, what do we get wrong before we get into the quarterback debate. And definitely the one thing that I got right was that Wake Forest is not that good.
Wake Forest horrible.
Is just a bad team. You know, they gave up a ton of points to Boston College, and then Boston College goes out and loses to Purdue. They barely beat the two, week one and week two opponents against terrible competition. Well, so before we get all excited about Notre Dame and their dominance, this is a bad team.
Yeah, Wake Forest has actually, since the game, fired their defensive coordinator. So clearly Mike Elko is no longer at Wake Forest, and things are trending the wrong direction for them. But for giving up so many points and yards to Notre Dame, the thing is, Notre Dame didn't even gain as many yards as they did last year against them. So this has been an issue for a while, and they finally, this was the final blow. Finally, we're on the other side of the defensive coordinator firing.
And this is just where, as far as Wake Forest is not a good team, neither was Ball State and Vanderbilt. So this is the kind of score that Notre Dame should have been putting up against those two opponents as well. What was the one difference? You know, obviously it's Ian Book starting, and I didn't think that was going to happen. I feared he would play more. I did not expect Ian Book to start or play the entire game, except for obviously the few snaps that Phil Jurkovic got.
Jurkovic. I didn't expect him to start either. I expected him to get some play, which he had played in all three games leading up to that. But, you know, we had mentioned against Vanderbilt how there were six things that could have, if it would have gone, would have been done different, that would have been a big win for Notre Dame. And in this game, they did all those things and came away with a big win. So I'd say the team all around took a step forward. I mean, just on every level of the team, they took a step forward and played like they should have been playing all along.
And I think part of that was these younger guys getting more playing time, like we talked about. We continue to see, Michael Young out there, continue to see, every day.
Kevin Austin.
But yeah, Kevin Austin was out there a lot.
And we finally saw younger players out on, they finally had a chance to put the younger players, freshmen and backups, out on the field in this game towards the end of the game, like we'd hoped they would do against Ball State. So,
which they just never got the opportunity to do it against Ball State.
You know, one thing that, we keep talking about subbing players in and out, but I believe it was actually Pete Sampson brought it out. Give him credit for that. Did you ever hear anybody talking about giving Manti Te'o a break on defense or Jalen Smith?
No, but and I didn't want to give them, but
I know
the same thing. I want to give them a break. I don't want to be out there for unnecessary snaps.
I know, but it's not Brian Kelly seemed to kind of play it off as, you know, these guys are, you know, we talked about that last, how he kind of played it off. And he does have a point there. I mean, it's, I think it's a little over, we would love to see them get a break. But at the same time, it's not as bad as we make it seem to be, as us fans make it seem, you know, when they don't get the long breaks in each game.
I disagree. I think it is important for injury and for fatigue, because we saw what happened in November. This team gets tired.
I'm not arguing that, but it's not, I think we, it seems worse than what it actually is.
Well, maybe. You're saying it's just, it's what we've been seeing. It's what's been.
Yeah, we kind of got used to that. Yeah.
But now we want to take the next step, Randall.
Exactly. The conditioning is so good that it doesn't matter if they play every snap. And it's obviously much better because they, this up-tempo Wake Forest, Notre Dame actually kept up and actually wore them down. So
a big thing we talked about also was third downs, and this is one area that I definitely got wrong. I mean, Wake Forest did convert more third downs than I expected. They were actually at over 50% of their third downs. They converted 11 of 21. So I did expect that to be a lower number, just because it was much lower versus Boston College. Although against Boston College, they did convert a bunch of fourth downs.
But it was surprising they didn't go for more fourth down. Obviously, their players thought they would go for fourth downs too, because the kicker didn't come out on the field on the one play. So, which I can understand why he was hesitant to come out, because he couldn't make a kick. Even when giving two opportunities with a penalty, he still couldn't make it. I'm sure the poor guy is getting a lot of, which I guess lucky for him, it didn't come down to those kicks. No. So it might not be quite as bad, but they might be holding tryouts this week just for any student to come out and practice kicking.
Before we get into the different position groups besides quarterback, was there anything else you wanted to mention as far as things we got right, things we got wrong?
Not necessarily.
All right, and I'm sure that Twitter listeners out there can chirp and chime in if you want to. I'm sure you will.
I heard a lot about the quarterback situation over the weekend, so.
Well, let's talk about the quarterback situation. I've got a couple of questions and some comments. The first question I think is, would Brandon Wimbush have had the same success against Wake Forest? But then also, how would this game have been different with Brandon Wimbush at the helm versus Ian Book? And if you want to go, do you want to go first?
Well, I kind of decided I'm not going to get into it too deep, because I think my whole thing with this the quarterback situation is more of a long-term deal. I honestly think either quarterback could have put in, and it wouldn't have been done in the same way, but that they could have still scored the points. Just because here's how I look at it. Everybody stepped up and made plays this weekend. A lot of plays were made after the catch, running the ball, things we hadn't seen before. And some of that is due to Book making the right decision, getting them the ball. I mean, he spread it out and got it to different guys, and everyone was more involved. But when the game first started, it did not look good. That was the first time that they haven't scored on the opening drive this year. They hadn't played from behind up until Wake Forest took a 3-0 lead. You know, so there was, it started out a little bit slow. But basically what I've come to with this quarterback situation is I want to see Ian Book play very well in this game. So he started convincing me, but I'm still not convinced long term. One thing that is clear to me, though, is that Ian Book is the quarterback that these coaches want to run the offense. Is what Chip Long and Brian Kelly have wanted, and Brandon Wimbush clearly is not really their type of quarterback. I mean, we heard Brian Kelly talk about at the beginning of the year how they're playing to Brandon Wimbush's strengths. Well, they didn't do that. I mean, there's a lot of debate, you know, the Ball State game, whether he didn't run because he didn't want to, or it was the coaches, or what it was. But from what we see in the first three games, well, Michigan. I'd say Michigan was, that was a game for Brian Wimbush, and Brian Kelly mentioned that they spent the offseason preparing Wimbush for that game. But they tried to make him, the stuff he's done, whether it's him or the coaches, is being a quarterback that he's not. I think the same thing was with Malik Zaire, honestly, which I think Wimbush is better than Zaire.
Okay, you've gone, but there's a lot of stuff there to dissect.
Well, okay, I'll just finish
I can't even remember all of them.
So the best thing I like, the thing that I do like, I was not convinced about this, and I made it clear on Twitter, and trust me, I got a lot of feedback, and I'm still getting it. But I want to say, wait for this long term, because the thing I did like is that the coaches sold, they put Book into the game. They played to his strength, and they sold out on Book being the quarterback. He is clearly, everything was to his strengths. They did not bring, have him go and marching down the field and then bring Wimbush in on the goal line like they did with Wimbush. I think that was horrible. They were trying to make, that's why I say they're trying to make Wimbush the quarterback that he's not. They want, Book is a quarterback that's designed to run this offense, and that's why it's working.
All right, couple things.
Bring it.
Number one, would Wimbush have had the same success versus Wake Forest? Possibly, but I don't think so. Because he had opportunities. He played against Ball State, and he played against Vanderbilt, and he played against Michigan, too. And against all three of those, I would say the Michigan one was clearly the offense was played to his strengths. Throw the ball deep and being actively involved in the running game. And then also with Vanderbilt, he was actively involved with the running game, but they weren't throwing the ball deep, whereas in Ball State, they threw the ball deep, but he didn't run the football. And I think that... go ahead.
I'll just quick throw this in, which you can interrupt me too. We get all these points. But the first couple drives show how the rest of the team has hurt the offense. Dropped balls, missed blocks, things like that. That was happening with Wimbush. That's why. That's what held him back as well. And Vanderbilt, we talked about the 6 points. If those 6 points would have happened, it would have been a completely different game. But you can argue that Book, maybe he's just that type of guy that can get the team playing. We've talked about other. I remember the big conversation with Tommy Reese was that he gets the team fired up. It's almost like the rest of the team knows they have to try to harder to help the quarterback when they step up their game because they're not depending on the quarterback. I don't know if that came to play, but I'm saying everybody else stepped up their game in this game.
I don't know if I really agree with that.
What happened
on
the first drive?
I think
why did it stall?
Okay, definitely Brandon Wimbush wasn't helped by these by the drops that were happening or the offensive line not playing well. However, the first thing that I noticed with Brandon Wimbush, with Ian Book throwing the football, is that when the receivers caught the ball, especially when they were catching the ball in the flats and ready to turn it upfield, it looked like their natural movement of turning upfield and catching the ball, it was seamless. There wasn't an interruption of focusing on where's the ball going to be, catching the ball, and then turning upfield. And I think that's
less thinking on their part.
Because the ball was where it was supposed to be, a little more accurate with those passes, and I think that's where a lot of those yards after the catch came. However, and so to me, clearly Ian Book is better, even though Brandon Wimbush has been hitting those guys and not hitting their feet, he isn't hitting them in stride like that.
They're probably not thinking about it as much. I agree with you. And then on top of that, what happened in this game, the receivers and tight ends were getting the blocks to get those guys able to... Because there's a stat out there today that on those plays from behind the line of scrimmage, the passes behind the line of scrimmage turned into over like 130 yards. We were complaining last week about how they have to stop with those screen throws because the blocks were getting missed and they were dead before they got anywhere. And whether that was, I mean, you could go either way, but that was just a combination of everything going wrong. And in this game, it went right.
So I think the big question is, I've said before, and I think you agree and have said it too, for Notre Dame to go undefeated or make it to the playoff, they need a quarterback like Wimbush where at some point in the season, it's going to be on the quarterback's shoulders to win a game, to score points. And we both feel athletically he's the one that can do that. Ian Book is a great distributor and is very accurate in those short to medium passing yards, but I don't think he's the quarterback that can overcome when the offense or the defense is struggling. Against a team like Stanford or against a team with really good defense that's going to have corners that are going to be able to just close the window, make windows very small and get after Ian a lot more quickly, I think he's going to struggle. And he can't throw the ball down. He can't throw the ball downfield.
Here,
not the way Brandon Wimbush can.
That's right. This is why I feel I'm getting a lot of heat, and rightly he played very good in this game.
He did.
I will say that. But what I'm pointing out is that Wake Forest is bad. What the total yards was 500 something last year with Brandon Wimbush at quarterback. I'm just saying they had over 700. This is a bad Wake Forest team, and everybody, this entire team looked better and played better because of it. And they're going to have a little bit of wake up call going against Stanford this weekend. And the one thing was that I'm hoping is this win. We saw what it did to the fan base. Like, everybody is so excited about football again, right? I mean, whole attitude is completely different. And maybe what I'm hoping is that this can also do it for the team. I mean, this gives them the confidence and just that mindset that they know they can do this. Whether this was a bad team or not, I think this will help them with that. I agree with you. What I'm saying is I want to reserve the right to – with my whole argument with the Wimbush book thing is more of a long-term.
Yeah.
The season-long – they're going to need both of them. I don't think that Book would have done or beat Michigan like Wimbush did. There are different teams where you can't just dink and dunk down the field and where your receivers aren't going to get every block like they did in this game. And where the running backs are able to. One thing that's going to help with Book at quarterback is that Dexter Williams coming back. And with him at quarterback, it is that much more critical that these running backs are successful, because that'll help open it up for the passing game for Book. Wimbush can kind of dictate that himself. But that's where I'm standing. I know I'm going to hear more because I'm still talking about Wimbush, but I think this Wake Forest team is that bad.
I want to finish my thoughts. So I said before the season, we said this and we agreed that, Ian Book isn't the quarterback that can overcome shortcomings from the team. But after three games, I don't think that Brandon Wimbush is either. And the reason is he can't – Brian Kelly mentioned the reason that they wanted to get Ian Book more playing time was because of his ability to run the offense at a higher tempo is essentially what he was saying. I think he used the word sense of urgency.
Yeah.
But what he's talking about is going faster.
Yeah.
And Brandon Wimbush does great on that opening drive when he knows what the plays are going to be. They've been scripted. But he isn't able to do it for whatever reason later on in the game. And I thought it was play calling and coaching. But after seeing Ian come out there, I don't think it is. I think it is Brandon. And I think where possibly this team is still a playoff contender is if they, like you said, they both play. And I think Brandon Wimbush is going to need to play and is going to need to score some touchdowns for this team to go undefeated. And bring him in for maybe a series or maybe two series where he knows the plays. He's able to go at a fast tempo.
Yeah. Here's, before you call me a Wimbush homer, I remember when Book was a recruit trying to convince people that he was a Notre Dame caliber quarterback. Everybody thought that Book was just recruited to fill a roster spot, have a quarterback in the class. And I kept trying to convince people that he was a Notre Dame caliber quarterback. So, and
if anyone has reason to be saying, hope
that he plays, or it should be me.
I know.
But and Book, I've been back and forth with him ever since he was a recruit. So it's not the one other thing. This is the last comment I'll make about this is that the one thing I did not like about. I was hoping to see, I didn't care if Book play, I was hoping to see Wimbush come out and start and then bring Book in. Because what I think this does, we saw last year how good Wimbush played until he lost his confidence. Wimbush can still help this team unless he loses his confidence. If this affects him mentally, Brian Kelly says it doesn't, but Wimbush's biggest weakness is mentally.
I agree.
And so if you lose that with him, he will not be able to help this team. And so that's why I was not convinced about, I would have, it's hard to say looking back because Book played so well, but I wouldn't have been, I would have put Wimbush in for a series or two, let him start the game and then bring Book in and let him play, because you've got to keep Wimbush in this mentally, because he's going to be needed and called upon the rest of this year, at some point this year. But if you lose him mentally, we saw what happened at the end of last year. And I think that'll happen again, and then they'll just kind of seal the deal for him.
And I think one of the worst things that could happen is if Brandon Wimbush is put into the game situation against Stanford, and he tries to do too much and ends up trying to escape and then giving up, you know, a big sack or a fumble as he's trying to escape. And then it's going to be hard for him to come back from that, because like you mentioned, we've seen it already.
The thing is, he looked, you know, what they showed him on the cameras, he looked like he was by himself all the time and just kind of dejected. But in the game, he was actually talking with Book. He was even over talking to Djokovic after his series, you know, and he was involved with the quarterbacks. And that's good. I think I agree with the announcers that it would have been bad to bring Wimbush in at the end of that game just in mop-up duty, mm-hmm. because mentally, what we talked about.
And again, like I firmly believe that if that Notre Dame needs Brandon Wimbush to play well still for them to make it to the playoff.
This is the closest I've ever come to being okay with a two-quarterback system. The thing is, you see other schools doing it right now. I mean, Alabama.
I know, it's the fad.
Clemson just announced their true freshman will start this next game. I mean, it's... Yeah. So it'll be... like, Notre Dame football isn't interesting enough. It just got a whole lot more interesting with this quarterback situation. So,
and another way to kind of melt this down is with Brandon Wimbush, it's an explosive offense, but then it stalls so quickly. Notre Dame's going to have a lot more three and outs, whereas with Brandon Wimbush, they're going to convert a lot more first downs, but they're not going to be as many explosive plays.
Yeah. I think the biggest thing is I liked how Notre Dame, even though the quarterback situation, they stuck with Book, played to his strengths, let him stay in the game, and they didn't do that in the first few games with the quarterback switching in and out.
See, Ram, I still disagree with you on that.
Here's why I say. Last year at this point in the season, Notre Dame was one of the best red zone offenses in the country, and it was because of Brandon Wimbush's ability to run and what he could do on the goal line. He set the record for touchdown scored by a Notre Dame quarterback.
They don't have
rushing
two
touchdown.
Horses on the offensive line anymore.
I know, but that was his strength. And we saw what happened when they did switch it out. They stalled. The first two times they tried it, yeah, Book scored, and you know, it caught everybody's surprise because nobody was expecting them to run. They expected a pass. But once that was obviously on tape and teams saw that, they still tried that, and that's why I think they're going to stick with Ian Book for a while now, because he's clearly the quarterback that fits their system and that gets done what they need.
How can you say that with what the system was last year?
They did it last year. I'm saying they didn't this year.
I mean, last year
they
were
played to
playing to
Wimbush's strengths. This year they
didn't. I think they were playing to the offensive strength last year, and that also happened to be Wimbush's strength too. And this year they need to have something in the passing game. And they're throwing the ball deep, which I do think is a strength of Wimbush. He wasn't very accurate last year. And the receivers, didn't help him out last year either.
Yeah.
So, all right. Yeah.
Let's
move on.
If people are still listening, because I'm pretty sure people want Book after that game. I mean, Book is the one that everybody wants in there.
I'm curious. This is switching gears. I was thinking about what's the line going to be for Notre Dame Stanford, because
have you seen it?
I haven't seen it yet. Hold on. I'm still thinking about what I think it will be. Obviously Stanford defeated Oregon, but really who was the better team? Oregon was the better team. I mean, and that was clear.
Yeah.
But Oregon did what it, they did win the game. So yeah. give them credit for that. And it was at Oregon.
Or Stanford did win the game.
Or sorry, Stanford won the game. It was at Oregon. So they're coming to Notre Dame, traveling across country, and they had an overtime game. Like, so they're in bad shape. Like, this is difficult for them to come back from. So I'm assuming that Notre Dame is going to be favored in this game. However, I also think what has to be factored in is what I think is going to be a very solid Stanford defense going against a quarterback that is more accurate but also more limited in what he can do downfield and with his legs. So I think Notre Dame is going to be favored, but I don't think it's by much. I'm guessing it's probably by 2.5 points.
I think yesterday was at 3.5.
Okay.
So.
And I expect as time goes on, that line might even shift more, towards Stanford's favor.
Yeah. I will, after last week, there was, you know, the back and forth between Brian Kelly and Vanderbilt, Derek Mason, you know, about the, it's not football, or it's bad football.
Yeah.
With the blocking on Alize Mack and back and forth. And I was like, I kept hearing, I totally agree. I think it was bad and whatever, but remember this, because after this Stanford game, David Shaw is going to be complaining about calls. Probably even if they'd win.
Probably.
So, trust me, that was, we're on Brian Kelly's side there, but that same thing is going to be coming back at us right after the Stanford game, whether it's true or not. But since we're going to the game, we might have to take some whistles along just to...
That's right. Are we going to the game?
Yeah.
All right.
So we'll see how this works out, Ruben. You've kind of had a negative influence on the team when you've been there. And
the last Stanford game I was at, though, was 2012.
That's true. We were both there.
So undefeated season.
The last games I've been at were USC. I did go to Navy last year as well, and then the Michigan game this year. So it's been big wins when I've been there. So
all right.
But Tony isn't going, so we got to – if you want to be sure that Notre Dame gets a big win, somebody might want to buy him a ticket. So.
Do you or I see the line actually did move in Notre Dame's favor. It's now at 4.5 points.
Oh wow. Well, all of a sudden they're after this game, all of a sudden everybody's confident in them again. So we'll have to wait and see.
All right, let's go through the different position groups. Let's stay with offense. Or I guess Phil Dracovic, did you
I mean,
I don't think there was a whole lot to see.
It's hard. Once they started subbing all the, you know, the freshmen and backups in there, it's just, it's hard to tell what you're getting because it's just a different game. It's not meaningful with snaps, really. And, I mean, it is, but it isn't. I mean, we all watched the game and saw what was happening, so... He actually threw two passes, which most of the time we see second or third string quarterback come in like that. They just in mop up duty. I mean, this is a little bit different this year with two quarterbacks starting, but usually they don't throw a pass, and they did let him throw the ball, so that's good to see. Even though he didn't complete any of them, but he was 0 of 2.
All right, running backs. Jafar Armstrong had a really good performance, almost hit 100 yards on 8 carries, had 2 touchdowns.
He had over 100 total because he had a reception. But, yeah, Tony Jones, not quite as good as he last, but it's good to see that one or the other is stepping up and making the plays.
I wonder, do you think Tony Jones didn't play as much because of the offense or... They got about the same amount of snaps, but they each had the same amount of carries. I mean, Jafar had 8, Tony Jones had 7. But it was kind of interesting. After his big game a week ago, I expected to see a heavy dose of Tony Jones Jr.
Yeah.
And who knows? Maybe Jafar Armstrong really had a good week of practice, and that was also part of Brian Kelly's...
Well, I mean, Jafar did good in the first few games. I mean, he outplayed Tony, so it's good to see that. Well, now you got Dexter Williams coming back. And
they're both running very strong, getting yards after contact.
That's what stuck out. I mean, they were breaking tackles. Yeah, it's Wake Forest defense, but they're breaking tackles and getting those extra yards When you thought, you know, a lot of times we see hear the whistles, and here they're still gaining a couple yards. So they keep improving. Avery Davis was even in there. So 9 carries for 43 yards. It was a good chance to get him. He looked better than what we had seen 2 weeks ago, but he still needs a lot of work. I think with Dexter coming back, his role will go down quite a bit.
I think it'll go down, but they'll probably still continue to use him here and there. And he's fast, so I really do like him in space. If they're ever able to get a screen game going that looks like it's functional, maybe that would definitely be a role for him.
Yeah, and Jameer Smith got into the game for the first time, 2 carries for 16 yards. So, like I said, you're getting more of these backups in this game, and this is what they needed against Ball State and didn't do it.
All right. Receivers and tight ends, let's just say the passing game. I mean, Alize Mack had a big game.
Now we know why he was so excited for this game and said he was going to be throwing the ball a lot. I'm pretty sure he wants Book throwing the ball to him.
Oh, I'm sure.
So, I like with the receivers, Miles Boykin and Chase Claypool were kind of non-existent. It was all of a sudden, I was like, it's good to see Michael Young, Kevin Austin making plays. Then about like that, Chase Claypool made a couple catches and got a touchdown.
That was my exact thought, too. It was, wow, Chase Claypool
has to step up.
Or I was just thinking they pretty much, I mean, he's in the rearview mirror because these other guys are making plays, and he has not been making plays all day. And then he did go on a spurt where he caught a few passes and really showed a lot of good effort. And also, yeah, scored that touchdown like you mentioned.
Michael Young had one reception for 66 yards, but then he did fumble that ball, which was not good. That's the I don't have the stat in front of me now, but that's the first time that was it outside the quarterback that like a running back wide receiver has fumbled the ball in a long time. So that cost them quite a bit right there, but they did bring him back in and they got him the long reception. I mean, they had him involved again, so they kind of got him to shake that off and keep playing. And I think he's another guy that needs to keep getting more snaps if Boykin and Claypool don't step up. Because honestly, with these younger guys, with Kevin Austin, Brian Kelly even mentioned how good the blocking was, and the blocking was much better in this game. Maybe it's because the upperclassmen are stepping up their game because these younger guys are coming on, but it's good that these younger guys are taking advantage of their reps because they need to put some pressure on some of these other guys.
Well, and here's what I kind of expected to see. Your leading receivers on the season as far as yards are Miles Boykin, and then Chase Claypool, and then Chris Fink, and then Alize Mack. However, Miles Boykin has one game where he has multiple receptions, and that was week 2 versus Ball State, where he had 6 catches and 119 yards. That to me is really concerning, although it is kind of what I expected to see. I know he has been getting a lot more attention from the defense, but still, there needs to be more consistent contributions from Miles Boykin.
Yeah.
He did pick up pass interference against Vanderbilt.
He sold out on that one.
So, I mean, I don't think it's a lack of effort. I just think it's a lack of talent.
On Claypool, I think it's a lack of effort.
On Claypool, I do think it's a lack of effort, a lack of consistent effort.
Yeah. Fink made another, we keep saying rare drop, but he dropped another very easy catch. So it's not so rare anymore. But he's got to make those plays. So, but they all stepped up, especially in the blocking. And then the tight end, Alize Mack, and then Brock Wright got another touchdown, lined up as a fullback. So a fullback got a touchdown at Notre Dame. But now he has 2. He's not catching a lot, but when he does, they're going for touchdowns. So
overall, though, I'm really happy with the receiving unit and tight end receiving unit this week. I do. They took strides in the right direction, and there was a lot of contributors.
Yeah, and that's one you're going to get with 10 different players caught a pass. So they spread it around a lot, and it's hard to cover all those guys. I mean, if you can basically bring any of those guys in, they get a reception. Yeah.
All right.
And it is more spread out because they're bringing more guys in. They're giving some other guys chances like they didn't earlier in the year.
Is the tight end, has he played, or not, sorry, has the true fullback transfer from...
Sweeney?
Yeah, has he played?
Yeah, he's had some snap on special teams, but I don't think he's come in as a...
As a fullback?
Yeah. I thought he might.
I know.
But
I just brought it up to rub it in.
I'm sure. But Brock Wright's been receiving... making touchdowns out of that fullback position, so it's a little hard to beat that.
Okay, so we move over to, or did we talk about offensive line? I guess there is some.
Trevor Ruhland started in place of Tommy Kramer, and it's a little questionable whether it was because of play or because Tommy Kramer was injured. He did have an ankle injury, and his ankle was wrapped up pretty good. But Brian Kelly talked about how Ruhland does better at moving around against a team like this than what Kramer does. So that's kind of a situation to watch going forward. But Sam Mustipher got the game ball. Brian Kelly mentioned how he stepped up his game, took some leadership with this offense, and that's what we've needed. And so he did get the game ball. And I think they keep improving each game. They got some other guys in there, Aaron Banks, and so they got some other guys in there. But Trevor Ruhland did pretty good. I don't think he's going to be... I think it had a lot to do with the injury because Kramer is going to be a guy you want against Stanford.
Exactly.
So.
Okay, let's move over then and talk about defense. Let's start at the front defensive line. Or I guess as a whole, Notre Dame, they just hit, got so many hits on Wake Forest quarterback Sam Hartman.
Oh, I know. He was at the end of the game.
I don't.
He felt bad for. I mean, he was scratched up. The announcer even talking about all the scratches and bruises he had, and he was on the sideline like he had literally tights. Just. He was just. He got abused that game.
Was it the radio or was it the TV announcers or was it the coach at halftime that talked about how Hartman had more hits in this half than he had against all three of the opening or first three games?
Oh, I'm not sure. I missed that.
I probably watched that. Maybe it was just. Either way, he got hit a lot, and a lot more than he was used to getting hit. And that's great. Even when Notre Dame wasn't sacking him, they were still hitting him.
Yeah.
And you can see that it wears on a guy, especially one that's a little bit frail.
Yeah. Well, yeah, they did a good job of keeping the pressure on him. And, Khalid Kareem did get called for roughing the passer, which basically I think if he would have kept his hands up, instead of bringing him down, he brought his hands down and hit him in the shoulder. And if he would have kept his hands up, it probably wouldn't have happened. But bringing that much pressure, it's bound to happen at some point in my mind. But he did a good job. Aquara was the player of the game on defense. Very good. The biggest question I have on the defensive line is what's been happening to Dalen Hayes? I mean, we see it's almost like you forget that he's even out there. I mean, he hasn't been making. He's definitely been a disappointment for me on this defensive line.
I thought I saw more of him though in this game.
Yeah, well, I guess he did have 7 tackles, 4 solo. I guess this game he did. It just. Aquara is outshining him, basically.
Aquara is outshining him.
I did not think he had 7 tackles, but it seems like I'm surprised that Aquara is very good, but I hadn't expected him to pass up Dalen Hayes. I thought Dalen Hayes would take his game to another level, but it's good. He was a great pass rusher, or seemed like it was a step up from what we've had in the past. And now we have another guy that's even passed him up. So definitely a good situation.
And then really,
to be in.
Khalid Kareem, I mean, has also been very effective. And I don't know. I mean, some think that he might end up being a better defensive end than these two guys.
Yeah. So they played very well, getting pressure on the quarterback all day. And Yeah, on the defensive line, Jamian Franklin, the true freshman, they come in at the end of the game, and he did injure his leg, his quad tendon. Yeah, I think that's what. And he is having surgery and is out for the rest of the season.
It was some kind of muscular, large muscle tendon. I think it
was a quad.
I think it was a quad.
Yeah, and so I think he was more of a type of guy that would probably play his four games. The way the defensive line has been playing, I don't think he was necessarily needed to contribute, but it's still, you know, who knows what will happen at the end of the season. I mean, he's playing good. He played good for a true freshman. The Adam Alola twins were actually in on the same play at the end of the game, so it's kind of cool to see them out there at the same time, but yeah.
All right, and then from linebackers, didn't see as nearly as many tackles for loss as we're used to with...
Well, it's because they actually got a break in this game.
Well, that is true. And,
Coney and Tranquil. Yeah. Tranquil had two tackles for loss. Coney didn't have any. But Tranquil also had a sack. So, but they did get a break on this team. And at the end, you kind of saw, you know, that when they got a break is when the Wake Forest was driving down the field, even before a lot of the backups came in.
And also with Wake Forest's backup quarterback coming in, Jamie Newman, the defense definitely was geared to stop Hartman and not quite as much of a thick, heavy runner like Jamie Newman, and he definitely made some good plays for Wake Forest. But it was at the point where it didn't matter anymore. There wasn't really... I wasn't disappointed that the defense didn't contain Newman at all.
Yeah.
Bo Bauer had quite a few sacks, or not sacks, quite a few tackles. That'd be nice. In the fourth quarter, ended up with six. And
yeah, he has got a lot of potential. So it was good to see him.
I don't know, anything else from linebacker group? I mean, Tranquil was tied for second with tackles. He did end up with eight total tackles, so he was still very productive. Coney just not quite so much, but again, not a big deal when the offense is hitting a lot of stuff on the outside.
Yeah, and it's crazy how fast that first series, how fast Wake Forest was off the field. I think it was 33 seconds. They were three and out. I mean, it was crazy, but the Notre Dame defense kept up with them and did a phenomenal job. Greg Dortch wasn't even they did a great job of covering him.
Did you see the comments that Dortch made to the TV announcers when they were doing some interviews?
No,
it was about Love, how he said Love is a pretty good quarterback, but he does cheat a little bit.
Cornerback.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, they went to school together, and so they even work out together. And
so maybe that was more just in fun than in...
Was that after the game?
Well, the announcer said it during the game, gotcha, middle of the game.
I mean, he had 56 yards, but he was one of the best receivers in the country.
Yeah.
And so they slowed him down, did a great job of covering him, and I thought maybe they'd have more Julian Love on him, but they didn't. We saw a lot. I mean, right at the beginning of the game, I guess getting into the safe cornerbacks and safeties, we saw Coleman was covering him, and then...
Troy Pride?
No, the nickel.
Oh, Griffith.
Griffith was covering. I mean, the first couple plays, Griffith was on him, which was kind of a shock. I figured they might have, you know, Pride or Love helping out there. But they did double-team him a lot, and they did a good job slowing him down.
And Griffith, remember we really mentioned it the first time that he was out there, how you could just see. He continues. I think he just looks better and better.
Oh, I agree. He looks less and less like a freshman.
Yeah, he doesn't stick out nearly as much as he did the first week.
Yeah,
2 weeks.
Definitely.
All right, safeties led the team in tackles. Gilman and Elliott had 9 and 8.
17 tackles from the safety position. I mean, that's crazy to think. A year ago, we would have said you'd be out of your mind. But these two guys are doing a great job and playing together. And Elliott, you know, we talked about Dalen Hayes maybe dropping off, or I guess getting passed up. I mean, it's more about Cora passing him up than him dropping off. But Elliott has taken a step forward like I don't think anybody else on this team. I mean, the talk before the season was about Pride being the star corner. I think Elliott took a much bigger leap in the right direction than what Pride did. Mm-hmm. And these guys continue to play hard and make tackles and get people lined up, and they're doing a great job at it.
All right. Anything else from the defense that you wanted to mention?
You know, Brian Kelly mentioned, especially noticeable on defense, how this, they, the conditioning, you know, how they were able to keep up and outplay Wake Forest. And it was obvious in this game that Notre Dame can finally, they've been playing a lot of snaps. They've been playing a lot of up-tempo teams, and they've been outplaying them. So it's good to see.
And then special teams, I mean, Fink had a really nice return. Still don't.
I was hoping that'd be a touchdown, but he just missed it. So,
but yeah, plays are being made. Even if it is against Wake Forest,
hey, he put the offense in a great position versus, which it was Elliott, it wasn't special teams coming out on the 1 yard line on a play.
Troy Pride,
yeah, coming out on the 1 yard. So, I mean, it would have been they already had good position. He just helped out that much more. Yeah, I thought they did good. Brian Kelly did mention Tariq Bracey, another true freshman on special teams, how he did a great job. And maybe he's a guy that will continue to see more on special teams outside the four redshirt games.
All right, Randall, do you have a winner for the score prediction contest?
Shucks. No, I was going to look that up, and I do not.
All right, we'll have that for our next episode where we preview the matchup with Stanford. But that free pint of coffee is from Main Street Roasters, our sponsor. You can find them online at mainstreetroasters.com. Follow them on Instagram. Their social media presence is excellent. It's fun to watch. And they do have sales going on every now and again, so follow them for that. And again, that's mainstreetroasters.com. Fresh roasted coffee here in our very little sweet town of Napanee, Indiana. It's the coffee that I drink. It's the coffee that I love. mainstreetroasters.com. Alrighty. I think that's everything.
Yeah. A great win. Everybody seems to be in good spirits again. I commented to you last week how it was almost depressing. Everybody's just so down about the team. I mean, the fans needed this, and I'm guessing the players did as well.
Here's my early need for Notre Dame to defeat Stanford. Brandon Wimbush needs to come out and have a touchdown scoring drive or play. Not necessarily he needs to score it. Maybe it's a run from one of the running backs, but he's going to need to contribute in scoring a touchdown, or I don't think Notre Dame can defeat Stanford.
Interesting.
So there's a little.
We might not have many listeners for the Stanford preview.
All right. Thank you guys for listening. Head on over to the forums if you want to talk Notre Dame football for free. That's forums.irishsportstalk.net. Oh, and one other thing. I was going to mention this at the beginning and forgot. Our hosting partner, Blog Talk Radio, requires that we insert a third ad into our episode in order for our relationship to continue to be the same. So that's why you find at the beginning of the episode, there's about a minute ad that you can easily and quickly skip through. And then at the end of the episode, there's also about a minute to 2 minute ad. And then now in the middle, there will also be a short, it should only be a 30-second ad. So if you don't like listening to them, feel free to skip through them. I listen to a ton of podcasts, and I skip through the ads all the time, but podcasters need to somehow pay for hosting and other fees that come up. We're not to the point of making money, that's for sure, but at least it helps cover, it does cover hosting and website fees. So that's why there's an additional ad over there or in the episode. Thank you guys for listening, and until next time, go Irish.
Go Irish.